Amen. First, we want to thank all of you that are here with us. We are in the radio station here in Beatrice, where we do all of our Sunday school lessons and as well as our radio broadcasts. We want to thank you for being here with us again. And we hope everything is going well for you. You're being safe. You're doing what you need to. You're registered to vote. You're praying about this nation, this president, and all that is going on. One thing to remember, no matter what is going on, God is still in control. God is in control, not the president, not the Congress, not your pastor, not your wife, not your children, not your family, but God is in control. Keep your hands in God's hand. Let us begin the lesson. These are the generations of Jacob. We started at the second verse. We just read the introduction to it. Joseph, the beloved of his father. We're beginning at the second verse. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock and his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto him his father their evil report. All right, what you need to understand and what you need to really be aware of is who Joseph is. Joseph is a very special person. He's a member of the family, God's family. All right. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren had saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, Now here's something that you need to understand about families. You know about families, moms and dads. Some of them, they love special. They are special children, and they seem to care about them more than others, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the way God made them, and that's where God put special love in their heart for certain children, of their children. They love all of them, but you know for yourself, being a person, these glasses one-sided, and they just keep irritating me, but anyway, God's good. Anyway. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. What about many colors? That's all the colors that you can see. The colors in the rainbow. Beautiful. You know about a beautiful flower. That reminds me this morning when I went out and watered the purple heart flower this morning on the back of the patio there. I love them. But anyway, Joseph had a coat on of many colors. And when the brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him. How about that? What about you siblings? Are you familiar with that? You know about that. And he could not speak peacefully unto him. You know how sibling rivalry is. I witness it in my family, and I know you witness it in your family. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren that they hated him yet the more. When he told them about the dream, he was a dreamer. You know, somebody asked about a dreamer. Martin Luther King dreamed of a day when all of God's children would be together, brothers and sisters, regardless of color. And he said unto him, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." In other words, you will bow down to me. You know what that means? You know, when they're in a family, there's always somebody in the family that has more stature than others and commands things and takes care of things, and everybody is kind of group around them and allow them to be leaders. And you look to their leadership. That's what this example was showing, you know, that as they was out in the field working. And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his works. Look at that. Some people hate you just because of what you say and how you act and what you say and what the things that you're doing. They hate you just for that reason. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. In other words, even the stars bowed down to him. How about that? And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. That is our key verse. What about envy? Do you know about envy? Is there any person that you envy? Envy is not a good thing, to hate another person. And if you're jealous of them, how about that? Is there anybody you're jealous of? Anybody that you are jealous of? Are you jealous of anybody? Are you envious of anybody? Let's look at the 23rd verse. Let's look at the 23rd verse. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. Oh, man. Brothers, sisters and brothers, hating each other. Wives hating the husband, envy and jealousy, family squabbles. That's how they begin. And some of them get this last their whole lives. Waving at some of the folks that are listening. Thank you all for listening. Then there passed by a Mennonite. We know about the Mennonites. Do you all know about the Mennonites? Who are the Mennonites? Some of us are familiar with the Mennonites. They passed by the Mennonites, merchants. Merchants, these are Mennonites. We have Mennonites with us here in this country, United States, right now. And they were merchants. They were salesmen. They sell stuff. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they bought Joseph into Egypt. Bought Joseph into Egypt. This is the beginning of a nation in which God is going to be planting in Egypt, which will be coming out of there. God's people. Love for one another. Love for one another is our subject today. Love for one another. Struggling with love. Are you struggling with love? This lesson aims, after participating in this lesson, each learner will be able to identify the cause and effects of Jacob's favoritism. His father loved him. And he loved him more so than the other brothers and sisters. Explain how Joseph contributed to the effects of the problem. Joseph boasted. How about you? Are you in a position where you boast and around your family and your friends and those that you are in a case you're with? We continue to wave at some of the folks that are listening, and thank you for listening. Are you boasting about what you have, what you do? That makes folks envious of you and jealous of you when you boast. But boast in Christ, but not about yourself. Repent, another thing, repent of having demonstrated biased love and seek to make amends to having done so. All right. How about you? Do you show biased love to your children or anybody in your family? How about it, huh? How about it? The lesson outline. It's going to be house versus home. We're in that partake right now. Family discord. You know about family discord, right? That's Genesis 37, 2 and 4. And we read that already about the family discord. How about your family? There is family. You have a family. There is discord in that family. A brother dreams dreams. Brothers have envious ideas and have high, as they say back in the old days, highfalutin ideas, and folks don't like them highfalutin ideas. That means you have vision. That means you have something beyond what yourself, and you think about it, and you believe that you can achieve those things. All right, brothers disband. The brothers, they picked him up, he ripped that coat off him and threw him in a pit, and the Midianites came along and sold him into Egypt. The seed for a nation has been planted in Egypt, and that seed is Joseph. That seed is Joseph. All right. We need you to understand what God is doing. God is planting a nation. God is planting a nation in Egypt. His people. The introduction, a house versus a home. Why don't we use the expression house, sweet house? A house is just a structure, a place of residence. Without a family within the building can never be home. Home has much more sentiment attached to it, meaning invoking different emotional bases on the family life within the house. A house consists of all that goes on within that structure. It's the place where memories are made. What about your home? How do you remember your home? Was it a peaceful home? Was it a turmoil home? Was there a husband and wife, mom and dad fighting? Were there brothers and sisters fighting? All of those things take place in your home. That puts a mark on you for the rest of your life and how you deal with it. Was God in that family? Was God in that home? When we consider the family life of the particular Jacobs in the Old Testament, the home sweet home is not the first phase to cross our mind. Family Feud. How about that? Remember the movie Family Feud? There are families feuding right this very second, right this moment. There is somebody in this country somewhere fighting, trying their best to kill each other right now, right there in the home, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, right now. But God is ever present there all the time. Let's go on. Home sweet home is not the first phase to cross our mind. Family Feud more likely seem more appropriate. The strife and hard feelings within the family are seen in today's lesson text. The lesson context. Joseph was born around 1916 BC in the world historic context. This wouldn't be near the middle of the Bronze Age, which began around 3000 BC. Other technology and social advances made this a time of importance through comparatively slow changes. The struggle with love involving Joseph goes back years before Joseph to his father Jacob, about 1860 BC. One thing you need to remember about time and the numbers about time is just keep rolling over and over. Do you know what time we are in so far as God's time? We're in a time at the dispensation of grace. Right now, this is the time that we're in. There are seven dispensations of time. That's another subject, but we are in the period of grace right now. All right. The struggle with love involving Joseph go back years before Joseph's father. Jacob was raised in a home where favoritism appears to have been the primary parenting skills of his father and mother. If you practice favoritism from your with your children, guess where you learn it from? You learn it from your mother and father, or from your mother, or from your father. Favoritism. Favoritism. All right? Tells, it appears to have been primary parenting skills of his father and mother. Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis 25:28 tells us all we need to know. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Look at that. A mother loves one more so than the other, and a father loves the other more so than the other. The beginning of strife and division and feuding in the family. It took place in your house. It took place in my house as well. God is awfully good. Such a scenario was bound to produce family conflict. This infighting came to head when Rebekah learned of Isaac's desire to bless his favorite son, Esau, the older of the two. This would solidify Esau's privileged position with promise of abundance for the future. She disguised Jacob so that she would feel Harry like his brother. The wife, the mother, contributing to the favoritism and being complicit in it and taking a hand in it. She disguised Jacob so that he would feel Harry like Esau. This ruse worked, and the blessing intended for Esau was pronounced on Jacob. Genesis 27, verses 1 through 41. Look what is taking place. God is in the weave, but human beings do not always follow God's instruction about love of the family. To escape Esau's vengeance, Jacob traveled to Haran, where Rebekah's brother Laban lived. Genesis 27, chapter 42nd to 43rd verse. There Jacob married the two daughters of Laban, namely Leah and Rachel, and became the father of one daughter and 11 of his eventual 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember those 12 sons. Genesis 25th chapter, 15:30-34. Joseph was the last son born to Jacob in Haran. On their way to Canaan, after residing in Haran for 20 years, Benjamin was born. He and Joseph were the only two sons of Rachel. Tragically, Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin. Eventually, Jacob settled his family in Canaan near Bethel. Genesis 35th chapter in the first verse. A journey hundreds of miles from Haran, but he believed that he would enjoy his last years in relative calm, as opposed to all the strife he had experienced thus far. However, some of Jacob's most heartbreaking trials were yet to come, sowed from seeds his own past. Family discord. These are the generations of Jacob. Genesis 37, chapter verses 2 through 4. The book of Genesis, organized particularly by the use of the Hebrew phrase, translated, these are the generations. What is a generation? Used for the last time. Generations of family. You have a sister. You have a brother. And others. You have one sister, then another sister. Each one of those are generations. How long is a generation? All right. Four generations of sisters. You have, we'll say, Janice, we have Jean, we have Dorothy, and we may have, what, April. Four sisters, that's four generations, all right? Each interestingly emphasized the continuation of life, introduced stories concerned with those lives in some way. Importantly, Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. You know who Abraham is, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you familiar with him? Matthew, the first chapter, verses 2. Who was given great covenants promised by God. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Do you know what we're talking about there? I'm hoping that you do. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3. We will turn to that real quickly just to show you the foundation of where we're going. Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindreds and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. God do not, when he wants to work with you, he know that your family members will influence you. Your family members will control you. Your family members will dominate you and oversee what and usurp what God wants done. God has to get you away from your family. God has to get you away from your families sometimes to do what he needs to do. And I will make thee a great nation. This is a promise God is making to Abraham. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless thee that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Get this. everybody on this earth a being blessed because of the blessing God gave to Abraham. Abraham and the land worship, communion, and promise. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. Joseph's birth is recorded in Genesis, the 30th chapter, mentioning how Jacob placed Rachel and Joseph in the rear of the entourage as Jacob prepared to meet Esau. This preferred treatment foreshadows the family dynamic that would contribute to the drama present in today's text. Since Rachel was Jacob's preferred wife and Joseph was her only son so far, Jacob wanted to reduce the risk of their being harmed from Esau. Remember what happened? How Jacob and his mother and father contrived to the blessing that was supposed to be for the older one. And they, through hook or trickery, through the mother, made his hand feel rough just like the older brother. Esau came seeking revenge for Jacob's previously deceitful action. But also in that deceitful action, his mother was involved in it as well. Division, envious, strife, and family discord all begins with your mother and your father and their favoritism. Favoritism. Do you show favoritism? Jacob was a very successful shepherd, Genesis, the 30th chapter. And apparently he indeed intended for Joseph to follow his footsteps. To that end, we see Joseph leaving the family operation in this relatively dry region. It was necessary to move the flock and herd around to provide them with daily food. Sometimes herdsmen would have to go long distance to find food because of the drought in the land and where the grass was growing. You had to have a place where the sheep could herd, could eat, and that's where they had to find good grass. And the lad with his son of Bilhah, and his son was Ziplah, his father's wife. Bilhah and Ziplah were called Jacob's wives, though the actual status of each was that of a handmaid. Ziplah was given to Leah, and when she married Jacob, Genesis, the 29th chapter, Bilhah was given to Rachel at the same time. According to the custom of the time, children born to a wife handmaid by her husband were counted as wife's own children. Example, in the biblical, Hal's son were Dan and Naphtali. Ziplah were Gad and Asher. That's in the 35th chapter, verse 26. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. What evil report? We're talking about the evil report of his dreams to his brothers. That's what he brought to his brothers. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Reason why he loved him so much is because he fathered him when he was very, very old, okay? So that gave him a special place in his heart, okay? All right. When Joseph tattling did cultivate good brotherly feelings, oh, what about Joseph? You want to know why his brothers was always against him? He was tattling, always telling everything. How about you? Were you? Who is in your family that tells everything, huh? You know what tattling is? It tells with everything you hear. Some of us do that today, right now. Look at Facebook. Everything going on in your family, you put it on Facebook. You're tattling. You're tattling to the whole world. You're tattling. While Joseph tattling did cultivate good brotherly, didn't cultivate brotherly, good brotherly feeling. Brothers and sisters don't like you telling on them. Were you telling on your brothers and sisters? Are you telling on your brothers and sisters right today? How about that? Tattling. You know what the old folks call it? Boy, stop that tattling, girl. Today, we're calling it what? Gossiping. You talk about everybody and everything that you hear. The favor that was revealed at the meeting with Esau became even more pronounced once Jacob's family had settled in the land. Jacob made no secret of the greater love he had for Joseph. Not only Joseph was one of Rachel's two sons, but he also born late Jacob's life. Jacob was about 90 based on the age relative to Jacob when the whole family arrived in Egypt. There are likely many ways in which Jacob demonstrated his fondness for Joseph. One concrete way Jacob expressed his love was by making a coat of many colors only for Joseph. Why did he make a coat for all of the brothers and sisters? Mothers and fathers, be very wary of how you show favoritism to your children. Love them equally, treat them equally, give them equally as God gives to you, as God would have you. It stood out against any garment your brothers had been seen. You know of the old television show, The Peacock and All of the Colors. How about that? Something to remember. Fury. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of the brothers and hated him, and they were furious with him, they were extremely angry with him because of that coat that his father made for him. It's because his father was showing favoritism toward him. Let's go to verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brother that they had hated him yet even more. They hated him more even because of that dream. Now comes another reason why Joseph's brothers hated him. His dreams. He's always telling his dreams. What if his dreams is he go tattling and telling everybody? You know, God sometimes tells us not to tell everything. Because some people will use what you tell them about what you are planning on to set things in your way to stop you from doing what you plan on doing. This is just what his brothers will be doing as well. Joseph was one of the few to whom God spoke in this manner. Equally important is the fact that Joseph later demonstrated the God-given abilities to interpret the dreams of others. Example, Joseph could interpret dreams. How about that? Dreams. The Old Testament, Genesis 20:3. Joseph was one of few to whom God spoke in this manner. Joseph could interpret dreams. We have people today, perhaps some in your family, that can interpret dreams and tell you exactly what you are dreaming and what you dream and what it was about. All right. And he said unto him, here I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves. In other words, this is the example of him showing how, what it means by when those sheaves, you know what sheaves are, right? What you cut with in the field, sheaves, okay? And their sheaves were bowing down to his sheaves. How about that? The dream was an image from a grain harvest. Men and women would go out and hand sickle and cut the grain. And they did. They gathered the cutting stalks with sheaves. The sheaves were stacked in the field to wait transport to place of threshing. To make obeisance mean to bow down in an act of great respect or worship. Here it signifies that someone else, who he will, power over those of the others that are bowing down. Why should Joseph think it prudent to tell his brothers about a dream in which they were under his power? Oh, that made them brothers angry. Let's look at verse 8. And his brothers said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? The similes of the dream did not confuse Joseph's brothers. Joseph saw himself as one who would reign over the brothers. They immediately grasped the meaning and hated him yet the more. Though the Bible is silent on this matter, it is possible that the brothers have already discussed killing Joseph. Compared to Esau's ideas in Genesis, Joseph's brothers, of course, did not know how important the fulfillment of Joseph's dream would be for the men in their own lives. Let's look at verse 9. In the sky, and the dream yet another dream, and told his brothers, and he told, behold, how he had dreamed and dreamed more, and behold, the sun and the moon and even the stars was obedient to him. Look at that. But Joseph, the second dream, likely provided a verification that the message of his first was true, since the two dreams concerned the same subject. We may compare this with Pharaoh's two dreams in the same night. Those dreams had different images, but the same meaning. Joseph's second dream, his implication is serious as the first. Not only would he be the 11 stars representing his 11 brothers, offering observance to him, so with Jacob and Leah, who still lived and represented his sister, Joseph's mother, now deceased, for Genesis 35th chapter, the 19th verse. The number 11 leaves no doubt about whom these images signify. Verse number 10, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked, him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed, son, come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Look at this. I want you to pay attention to this very closely. And he told his father and his father, brother, and his father rebuked him. What does rebuke mean, huh? What does rebuke mean? Huh? Do you know what it means to be rebuked? Huh? How about that? Have you ever been rebuked? I have. Perhaps you have. Rebuked. You mean you're told you don't know what you're talking about. What you talking about? You don't know what you're doing. Has anybody ever told you that? Shut up. You don't know what you're doing. Huh? How about that? Have you been rebuked? Perhaps we all have. Jacob responds first to his brother's second dream. Even though Joseph was his favorite son, Jacob was bothered by the dream and rebuked Joseph for sharing it. He rebuked him for sharing it. What does God tell us about telling them? I just mentioned it before. Telling everything that's on your mind, what you plan on doing. Some things you need to keep to yourself. Some things you need to keep to yourself. I'll say it a third time. Some things you need to keep to yourself. Okay? It was hard to believe that the next two youngest sons, Joseph, would be the one whom Jacob, Leah, and the 11 brothers would bow down to, no matter how much Jacob loved the boy. Look at that. Even the father and the mother is not too pleased with what Joseph is doing. Okay? Jacob, of course, was no stranger to dreams. He had dreamed as he departed Canaan and traveled toward Haran. That's in Genesis, the 28th chapter. In Haran, he told Rachel and Leah of another dream in which God told him to return to Canaan. Even so, he did not seem to grasp that this dream were more than fantasy or nuptial fabrication of Joseph's part. Dreaming of grandeur. In dreams, I had recently several Christian bikers were at a gas station, and friends on Japanese motorcycles and on a German BMW. I mentioned the origin of their bikes because a group of Harley riders arrived next. The real-life disband resulted in the dream. Bullies stopping to harass us, looking to make trouble. My friends backed away. There I was with my Beamer. I curiously told the Harley riders to leave my friend alone and go away peacefully. You ever stood up to someone that was bullying somebody? Perhaps you had a dream about something taking that way. You stood up and took care of somebody and protected them. All right, let's go to verse number 11. And his brethren envied him. How about envy? Envy is, oh man, that is a powerful thing that will hurt you. You ever heard the thing about sticks and stones make my bone? Ooh, but envy hurts down to the bone. Ooh, have you ever envied somebody? And his brethren envied him. Here the brothers' reaction to Joseph's second dream differs from the hatred that he has defined there before. Perhaps they were beginning to wonder whether Joseph's dreams have some real meaning to them. How possible that they would wish they could be the ones having such dreams. How about that? Joseph's reaction to Joseph's dreams. All right. The emotion of envy suggests a stronger and more significant passion than even hatred. Look at that. The emotion magnifies the possibility that their feeling would spill over into violence. See Genesis 37 and 8. Genesis 37 and 8. Let's look at that. Do you know that when you get angry, brothers and sisters, you can take that anger all the way to murder, to doing a crime? That's how Satan takes over and uses you. He can take you on something that you get so angry about, that you get so mad that you want to kill the person. Let's look at 37. Let's look at what that says. I believe that was Genesis 37 and 8. And let's read what it says. Genesis 37 and 8. Joseph hated and rejected by his brothers. Listen at this. And his brothers said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet more than for his dreams and for his word. They were very angry, angry enough to him to kill him. But instead, they decided to throw him in a pit. All right. But his brothers observed the saying. Observe the saying mean that Jacob will watch over for one another, even though Jacob, which Joseph the dream was not, would be fulfilled. This is from similar to Mary's own watchfulness in Luke 2 and 19. Brothers disband, shaming Joseph. Shaming Joseph. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to the brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, and his coat of many colors that was on him, that they took him and cast him into a pit. As the story picks up at this point, Jacob had sent Joseph to his brothers who were attending in the herd. Joseph found them in Dothan, close to one of the major trade routes to Egypt. When the brothers saw Joseph approaching, they decided it was a good time to kill him. Watch what happens here. His brothers, Reuben, however, suggested instead that Joseph be thrown into a pit. Genesis 37, 12, and 22. It's not in our printed text, but you make sure that you read it. The act of stripping Joseph out of his coat symbolized stripping him of his status as Jacob's favorite. Is likely representing more than anything the brothers' resentment or favoritism that Joseph received from their father. When they decided to pretend that he had died, they actually started pretending they were lying. How about that? When you're angry, you'll cover up your lie and what you did wrong. When you steal, you'll cover up and say you didn't do it. When you kill, you'll cover it up and say you didn't do it. You will lie about it. When they decided to pretend he had died, they used the word pretend, but the word is really a lie. The coat became evidence of support of their story. Genesis 37, 31, and 33. Their revenge continued when they threw Joseph into the pit, which is probably a dry cistern. In other words, it had dried up. It was one at one time. It was impossible for him to climb out of it. Selling Joseph. Then there passed by Mennonites, merchants. They drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Israelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. God is planting the seed for a nation. And guess who that seed is? Jacob, family tree. And Joseph. God is planting a seed. And that seed, I take that back, is Joseph. Okay. And the Mennonites and Ishmaelites also spell Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites. Two names of the same group of people. One, on the one hand, Genesis 37, 36 says that the Mennonites sold Joseph to Potiphar, while Genesis 39 says it was the Ishmaelite. This suggests they were the same people by two names. Similarly, we find Gideon fighting against the Mennonites, Gergis, who wore golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. On the other hand, some scholars suggest that the Mennonites merchants acted as middlemen for the Ishmaelites and were not actually part of the same people. At the best, least the two groups shared Abraham's as a common ancestor, Genesis, the 16th chapter. The relative value of 20 pieces of silver is uncertain. Such an amount seemed to be the going price for slaves in the time of Joseph. Slaves. How do you know? What do you know about slaves? How about yourself as a nation? God's people, some of God's people were slaves. The slave price is 20 pieces of silver for a slave in the times of Joseph. His sale brought monetary profit to the brothers as well as providing them a way of enacting their revenge without actually killing him. The brothers then slaughtered a goat, smeared its blood on the coat, and tore it up and presented the coat to their fathers as evidence that the favorite son was dead, killed by a wild animal. Look at that. went to the extent of killing one of the sheep, smeared the blood on the coat of many colors, and tore it up as evidence. They made up evidence. See what lying and stealing and envy and jealousy would do? Satan would take you to untold length to cover up your crime. He would take you all the way to the point of killing. When you get angry, make sure that you not dwell in that anger, for it would take you to a dangerous place. Meanwhile, Joseph was taken into Egypt, presumably never to be heard from again. Who suffers from favoritism? We must add this. Listen very closely. I knew a businessman who passed all of his children to follow in his footsteps. All but one of these innocent fathers approved career field. These were blessed with two favors, but the one who chose a different way suffered many consequences. When the father died, his estate was divided equally among his children. However, in a final act of favoritism, those who had done what the father had said received their share immediately. The other son found that his inheritance was placed in the investment account, which he received only the yearly dividend. He would never receive the full amount of his share as his siblings did. In Jacob's family, only Joseph was favored. In both families, everyone eventually suffered because of favoritism, whether it has benefited them initially or not. And so it is, still is. Look at the Trump family, the favoritism that has been shown in that between the sisters and President Donald Trump and all of them. Envious. It's all planted by the wives and the husband and the family. The conclusion, this has been a very powerful lesson. We hope you enjoyed it in regards to what we have been talking about today with this lesson. And it's a powerful lesson of love for one another. Biased love. Mothers and fathers showing biased love can lead to envy and hate and destruction and even death. Brothers and sisters even kill each other. Important conclusion. Here's the conclusion. Imperfect family, perfect God. Today's tragic episode impressed on us what favoritism can do and has done in family. Jacob showing favoritism to Joseph created hatred in his older son that festered and was mixed with envy, finally erupting in violence. Biased love toward one son resulted in the others starving for their father's favor and taking out their neglect on the object of his affection. Look at that. The mothers and fathers brought strife toward the sisters and brothers by favoring one another. And guess what? Them brothers and sisters hated that person that the mother and father favored. It is still true today, and it's taking place right now, perhaps in your family. Still, God's sovereign plan and purpose move forward under his guiding hand. Regardless what we plan and how we trickery and underhand and backhand and backstab and kill each other, God still got a plan in place, and it goes on just in spite of what you're doing, because God's plan would never fail. His guiding hand. God had told Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham and his family would sojourn in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years, Genesis 15 and 13. Joseph was being sent ahead as a kind of point man for his family. Though Joseph saw only the slavery ahead of him, God saw the fulfillment of Joseph's dream and the blessing who would be to his brothers. Okay, and God's providential work through Joseph, we are reminded that God is never thwarted by the evil intention of a human being. What is going on today in this country will not stop God's plan. Get that. Remember that. I don't care what's going on in the world today, what the Trumps are doing, what the president's doing, what the vice president, Pence is doing, whatever, whoever is evil is doing, it will not stop God's plan. God's plan will continue to roll on and will be fulfilled. In God's providential work through Joseph, we are reminded that God is never thwarted by the evil intentions of human beings. Though we struggle to see God at work in our trials today, he remains the unseen mover in our lives, just as he was in Joseph's life. I want to leave you with an example. Take a look at this beautiful shirt here I have on. take a look at that beautiful color. There is something going on behind that. There's a weave behind that, the fabric that's put together that you do not see. The hands of the sewer that put the beautiful thing around there. God is still in control. God is still involved in your life. He's involved in my life. The trials and troubles that you have is because God is doing something in your life. We want to close with a prayer. Dear Father, help us to love as you do with our neglected, some of our favorite others, without neglecting some and favoring others. That's how human beings do. When you get to loving one way, you neglect some way. You need to just love everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you for joining us for the lesson today. And we hope that you will join us next Sunday, September 13th, which will be the second lesson in this series. September 13th will be lesson number 2, Obedient Love. Obedient Love. Devotional reading going to come from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 5b through 11. And the background scripture going to come from Genesis, the 41st chapter, verses 14 through 57. All right, this quarter that which we are dealing with today is going to be dealing with specifically some lessons in this series. We hope that you will be very much attuned to the lessons in this unit, Struggling with Love. Today was September the 6th, Bias Love. Next Sunday going to be Obedient Love. September the 20th is going to be Victorious Love. And then September the 27th will be Reveal Love. Okay, this unit here will be 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, and 3 units, okay, in this quarter. Thank you for listening, and we will see you and hear you, hopefully, next Sunday. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us. For the pastor who will be teaching over at his other church, Lily Baptist, there in Frisco City, and to all of our families and friends on this Memorial Day weekend, as you gather with your family and loved ones, be safe. Wear your covering over your mouth as you go out. Be safe and be obedient. Love each other and care for each other. And just remember, all of the turmoil that's going on, God is working out his plan for you and I because he loves us. Take care, and we will see you again next Sunday.